make heaven our home one day. Amen, amen. I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 1.
Yes.
Acts chapter 1, and we'll just read one verse of scripture here, verse 8. You are familiar with this scripture. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power." Everybody say power. Power. "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth," to the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. I want to speak to you for the next few moments that we have this morning on this title, The Privilege of Power. Amen, amen. The privilege of power. Just a few short months ago, we in the southern part of our country, down in the Houston area, we witnessed the devastation of Hurricane Harvey as it swept into southeast Texas, and it threatened to wipe entire neighborhoods off the grid. And I began to look into a little bit of the history of hurricanes. In September 1900, the deadliest hurricane ever in America's history made landfall on the Texas coast, destroying the city of Galveston. And that opened the way for Houston, its similar-sized rival, to become the region's metropolis, the fourth largest in the nation today. And Hurricane Harvey threatened to reconfigure the cityscape on this low-lying land once again. As a Category 4 hurricane swirling off the Gulf of Mexico, its eye crossed the coast on August 25th, its winds ripping beach and fishing towns to pieces. And then something wild happened. It stalled. Harvey parked itself over the Houston area's 6.5 million people, dumping up to 50 inches of rain. Even the slightest dips and rises on the flat coastal plain could determine which neighborhoods flooded, and residents found their fates tied to small creeks and shallow reservoirs. I want to show you a quick video here this morning of an interview that was done with a man who was one of the victims from the hurricane. The news team found him on the side of the road. He had walked through the night. He'll tell you in his story. It's about a minute and a half long. I just want to play this for you because something happened to me whenever I watched this for the first time. And I've watched it several times. It impacted me so much that whenever I began to prep, for this morning, this actually just was the main thing that I thought about, the main thing that popped in my head. So would you play that for me, Sister Hogan?
You were just talking to me. You walked for how long in the dark just to get here?
About 12 miles to get to my dad's house.
And you rode out the storm. Tell the viewers about what you experienced, what it was like for you.
Terrifying, man. I'm scared of heights already, and my trailer was just bouncing up and down, and I lost everything. It just wiped me out. And this is my first hurricane, so... Yeah, I'm scared. This is my home.
What about your friends and family? Where are they at, man?
I don't know. There's been no cell service since the Thursday, Friday. Haven't gotten a hold of anybody. If my mom and dad's watching, I'm okay.
What are their names, in case they are?
Betty and Brian.
Where were they last?
My mom's in Oklahoma, and my dad, there's no telling where my dad's at. I'm here in Rockport waiting on you. Okay, Dad, I'm going to jump on the bus. I'll be there. Are you okay? Yeah, I'll jump on one. Yeah, I'm in Rockport. Okay. Dad, I love you.
I was going through some of the stories on the internet last night. some of the stories would give you hope, and then others would just leave you heartbroken. And I ran across that video shortly after the storm of this young man who had lost everything he had. Only thing he owned was the clothes on his back, and he was in search for his family. Let me ask you this morning, after watching that clip of a man who has nothing, who had walked 12 miles in the night in the pouring down rain, wondering if his family was still alive, what did you feel? What were some of your thoughts? Just think to yourself for a few moments this morning. What were some of the things? With all of those things in mind, after I watched this clip, after seeing the devastation on this man's face and hearing the hurt and the pain in his voice, at that point, I was ready to get in my car and drive down to Houston, find this man, and give him whatever he needed. That's how I felt. And you know, and I know as a church, we were able to send off an incredible amount of goods and necessities to the victims, and I applaud you for that. But after watching this clip in particular, I was ready to jump in my car, rush down, and help this man with whatever he needed help with. I was ready to give him anything and everything that I had, because here's a man who has lost everything, who's helpless, he's lost his home, his clothes, personal belongings. He doesn't have anything to eat. He doesn't have anything to drink. He doesn't have anywhere to go. The luxury of him being able to just go back home and relax on the couch is now gone. The luxury of having his own food in the fridge to just go and grab at his convenience is now currently gone. And I was ready to jump into action. I was ready to help. In any way that I could, I just wanted to help this man. Now, let me ask you this morning. If you were thrust into that situation with this man saying, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I don't have anywhere to go, what would you do? What would you do in this particular situation? He's hungry, so you would do what? You'd feed him, right? He's thirsty, so you would give him something to drink. And if he had no place to go, you could offer him refuge. Yes, of course you would. We would all be willing to jump in and help. And the reason that we could jump into a situation like that and help somebody and be confident is due to what? It's due to the fact that you have food. It's due to the fact that you have fresh water. It's due to the fact that you have a home. You have these things, these resources that are available in your life. No doubt that having access to those things would make us confident in a situation like that. Because when you know what you have and you understand what you have and you know why you have it, you're able to offer it to people who are in need of that. Because in that situation, you'd find water. In that situation, you'd find food. You would bring this man to your house if you had to. And right now, money isn't really a necessity. It's not really important at this moment, but substance is. Food, water, and a home are immensely important, and you have that. So that's why you would be able to offer it. There is a term, maybe you've heard it used in our vocabulary. Sometimes we use it to reference some things, and it kind of goes along with this thought that I had this morning, and that term is power hungry. You could do a Google search on it. I'm pretty sure the term is self-explanatory. It simply means to eagerly crave the ability to act. It's the ability to act on in any situation, and the strength or force actually put forth is power hungry. And when you put it all together, it is the craving to have the strength and the ability and the knowledge for when a situation arises, you are able to act on it, you are able to control it, you are able to influence it, and you are able to change it. It's to eagerly crave, not just crave, but to eagerly crave, having a strong desire to be anticipating. Now, let me ask you this. If one of your friends or one of your family members or one of your coworkers came to you feeling like this man, I ask you, would you have the ability to act on it? Would you have the power to step into their life, to step into their situation and change it? And my answer is yes. Sure you would. Because every one of us has the ability to act on a situation like that. Every one of us has the power, has the ability. But here's my point. There are so many spiritually, so many in the spirit that deal with this kind of emotion on a daily basis. We are surrounded by them every single day. People who are lost, people who feel as if they have lost everything. They've lost everything in life that means something to them. They've lost the meaning of life. Their spirits are broken. Their hope is non-existent. And you and I have the ability to step into those lives and influence the situation and ultimately change it. I know we laugh and joke sometimes, especially in the younger crowd, when someone loses a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and I'm sure you could reflect back to your younger years when you would date or go steady with somebody. I'm not sure what you would call it back in your day of doing those things and stuff, but you know, and we would, you know, dating steady. You know, you remember those moments in your life dating a guy or girl, and then all of a sudden they give you the look and they say, "We need to talk." It's never good. It's never a good thing to hear that phrase, is it? Jeff Foxworthy has a joke. When a woman says, "I need some space," he says that's half the sentence. The other half is without you in it. I need some space alone. You know, I know we can laugh and joke about situations like that, and it is funny, but the reality is these feelings of hurt that people have are real. These people, they feel in situations like this, they feel like life is over. I've heard of people that get so depressed that they quit eating and they get so down on themselves and they go into an emotional depression. Those are real feelings. That's something that's real to them. And these people, here's my point, they are around you every day. We are surrounded by people that are searching for satisfaction in life, in relationships. They are looking to be fed. They are hungry for something. They are hungry for something that is real. They are looking to feed their spiritual lives, their spiritual selves. But the problem is they're looking in all the wrong places. They're looking to feed their spirit with drugs and promiscuity and alcohol and the sinful things in this life. They are hurt. That is a reality in them. And they are looking for something to take away the pain. Life has basically come to have no meaning to them. They can't tell you where they are at. They are simply lost. And inside, it's like they have a house, but they have no home. They have physical food, but nothing to feed the spirit. And they constantly abuse their bodies to try to feed their spirit, but it doesn't work because there's only one thing that can feed the spirit, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. It is the love of a father. Yeah. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy the soul. You can try to feed your spirit with carnal things all you want to, but at the end of the day, my friend, you will be found wanting. Why? Because Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the life giver. John said, "In him was life, and the light was the light of men." He's still the answer. No matter what you go through, no matter what you're surrounded by, no matter what situation, maybe you even walked in here with this morning, the answer has remained the same. Amen. And these people are around us every day. This man in the clip from earlier, when I first saw the video of him trying to hold back the tears from him losing everything he owned, I was ready to pick up and go try to find him. Nothing will make me cry any more than somebody trying to hold back tears, I think. Easton, it just breaks my heart. Anytime he's hurt, his feelings are hurt, and he tries to hold back tears, I want to cry for him. I do. And watch this man in this video clip who's trying to, he's trying to hold back the tears. He's trying to be strong. He's trying to be tough. He doesn't know where his mom is at. He doesn't know where his dad is at. And watching that, I was ready to go and find him. I wanted to help him find his dad. I wanted to help him find shelter. I wanted to help him find food. I craved for the power to go. I was hungry for the ability to act on this situation. But listen to me this morning. There are people that you and I are surrounded by every day that are screaming out the very same things that this man said in this video. We have coworkers, we have family, people that we go to class with, neighbors that are screaming out, I'm lost. I'm lost. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anybody. I have nothing. I'm lost. And my question is simply, what do you do about that? What do we do about that situation? You see, when we watch the video clip and we see the hurt and the devastation, you can quickly answer what we would do, that we would drive and help that man. But what do we do about these other situations? And this is where we get in a snag. This is when we get fearful and sometimes don't know what to do. A friend reaches out to you, begging for help. And we get frightened and aren't really sure what to do, not really sure what to say, don't want to say the wrong thing. So what do we do sometimes as Christians? Sometimes we just try to grab them and get them to church. We try to grab them, get them to church. But what if they don't want to go to church? You know that happens, right? You can invite all that you want to. Doesn't mean they'll show up. And that's what we do. We get frightened and fearful and think, I don't really know what to do in this situation. Hey, you want to go to church? And like, no. And you're like, oh, I thought they'd say yes. And you think, oh, I'll invite them to church. That's what I'll do. I'll invite them to church. Hey, you want to go to church with me? No. Hey, that happens. That happens. I wish they would come every time they were invited. Boy, you talk about filling this place up in the blink of an eye. That would be nice. But most of the time, that's not the case. So here's my question this morning. Do you have enough to feed them right now in order for them to hunger after God more? Do you have the answers? Do you have the power, the ability to be out in the world in somebody's situation and help feed them and help give them an answer, to help give them a little taste of God, to help them want more? And I want to tell you this morning, you do have the power. Why? Because God has given you the power. God has given you the answers. You have the ability. You have the power. Hurricane Harvey comes in, they bring in the Red Cross. They need all of these. They need the National Guard. Let me tell you, you are the Red Cross. You are the National Guard of God's army. You have the power. You have the ability to step into a lost world, to step into somebody's lost life and give them a little taste of God to help them be hungry for more. Yes. We are His witnesses.
Yes.
That's our job. That's what He has empowered us to do, to be witnesses. He has given us power so that we can have strength and the ability and the knowledge for when a situation like this arises, you are able to act on it. You are able to control it. You are able to influence it and ultimately change it. You know, that's why it's so important to be faithful to church. You know, that's why it's so important to be alert in Sunday school and hear what's being said, because God is speaking. God is empowering His church. Amen. Why? To be His witnesses. This gives us this power. This gives us the importance of who we are. Can I tell you, first of all, you got to know who you are, because before you can help somebody know who they are, You better know who you are, and then you need to know what to do about it. You've got to know what to do, or we'll all just be walking in circles. You got to know who you are. You got to know what to do, and you got to know why you must do it. The key question for the day and hour that we live in, the key question for this generation is I know who I am. I know what to do. But why am I doing it? Why am I living like this? That is so important. Everything that we do as a body of Christ makes us who we are first. It gives us knowledge of what to do, but more than that, it tells us why. Church, you've got to know why. If you don't know why, I'm telling you, when the devil comes knocking at your door and you can't answer, you can't answer the why question in your life. You've got to know why. You've got to know why you're baptized in Jesus' name. You need to know why we do what we do. And it's so important because it lets us know of the power that we possess. Do you know that you have power to change lives?
Yes.
Do you know that you have the power to influence your world? And where does that power come from? Where does that power come from? I want to talk about three things real fast. Where does our power come from? First thing, power in the name of Jesus. If you have been baptized in Jesus' name, let's just make it plain. You have power. Period. Why? Because you have your Father's name. And your Father owns everything, and He controls everything, and He gives you that same power because you have His name on your life. Aren't you thankful for the name of Jesus Christ? It has power. According to John 16:23, it says, ask anything in my name and I will give it to you. This name gives us power. Acts chapter 3, Bible says, then Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have. Come on, the things that I possess. What are you talking about, Peter? He says, the things that I possess. I know who I am. I know what I have, and I know why I have it. And he tells the man, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he does. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you have been baptized in his name, you've got that power.
Yes.
Clap your hands unto the Lord this morning.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Acts chapter 3 verse 16, and it says, and in his name, through faith, in his name hath made this man strong. Let me ask you, what made the man whole? What made the man strong again? It was the name of Jesus. It was the name that you and I possessed. If you've been baptized in his name, and sometimes some of us have trouble knowing what we have, and the devil would love nothing more than to help you forget about it altogether. And some of us don't realize what we have, number one. And second, you don't know why you have it. And that's the goal. That's the purpose, to be able to know why. James 4 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you call on the name of Jesus, unclean spirits, they have to leave. But you have to be submitted. You got to know who you are. You got to know what you have. And you've got to know why you have it. There's power in the name of Jesus. The second thing, there is power in the blood.
Yes.
There's power in the blood. Here's the deal. Our souls could not have been purchased by money. In order for us to be redeemed or bought, God had to pay the correct medium or of exchange for us. How did he do it? His blood. Acts 20 and 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. How many of you know there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. Come on, somebody. There is power in the blood. The Bible says you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The blood of Christ purchased you. The blood of Christ paid for you. It redeemed you. There is so much more that we can dig into on this subject. We just don't have enough time this morning. But I just want to let you know, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ and the power that it has, because it still reaches to every highest mountain and it still flows to the lowest valley. It has the power to wash away the sins that we have created, all the mistakes. Come on, somebody. There's power in the blood. When we fall and when we sin, we can repent of our sins and get back under the blood.
Yeah.
And why are we able to do that? Because that blood has power. Power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood. And the last thing, there is power of separation. We have power of separation. What does power of separation do for us? What does it give us, Bryce? Let me ask you this morning. How can I spiritually help someone if I am just like them? How can I feed somebody who is hungry if I'm hungry and I don't have anything to feed them? How can I help somebody overcome something if I am just like them doing the same things they are doing? And the answer is, I can't. I can't. In order to bring someone out of their guilt and their shame and their sin and their loneliness, I have to give them something that they don't have. And guess what? You have that. The power of separation gives you that. Here's what I'm saying this morning. You can't be like the world and help the world. How are you going to help them? How are you going to give them a better life if you're living the same life as them? And the answer is, you can't. You can't just give them words. Words won't help people. People don't want words. They want action. And within you, you possess the power and the ability to show a world that is lost that, hey, there's a better way. Hey, I've found a way. His name is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But you've got to know who you are. You've got to know what you possess, and you've got to know why you possess it. And the power of separation gives us that. Separate. It doesn't make us better. Separation doesn't make us better than our coworkers. It doesn't make us better than our family or our friends. You and I are no better than anyone else on the face of the planet. We're just different. Not better, but different. We have an identity as a child of God. The power of separation. It helps us to be different. It gives us power to help somebody. It gives us power to step into a life that is so messed up, and to be able to give them food, to be able to offer them refuge. But we can't be like everybody else and win the lost. It doesn't make us better. It just makes us different. Why? Because we have an identity as a child of God. We've all heard the commandment that of God, go forth. It's come out from among them and be ye separate. There is power in separation. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can goodness be a part of wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? The key words in that translation, that scripture, team and partner. It doesn't say anything about witnesses or friendships, but team and partner. What God is asking you to do as church is to be an example, not a teammate. Be an example to lead somebody somewhere, but don't be a partner. A team and a partner, they do the same things together. They have the same goal. You can't do the same things and win anybody to Christ. You've got to be separate. And that gives you power. It gives you the ability to win somebody to the Lord. You can't truly help somebody until you learn to be separate. You know what you can do? All you can do is relate. That's it. Just relate. To be casually connected. To just relate to their situation. And relating is great, but it doesn't change anything. What this world needs is someone with a backbone to stand up and tell them the truth. even though it may hurt. That's why I love our pastor so much. Just preach the truth.
Yes.
Preach the truth to me. I'm sure everybody else out here feels the same way.
Yes.
Just preach it. Preach it to me straight. Tell me what the Word of God says.
Yes.
Amen. Preach me the truth. Why? Separation.
Yes.
There's power in separation. And I'll say this. If you think separation is just about dress and holiness, you are badly mistaken. Nobody ever said that holiness was just about dress. What about our attitudes?
Yes.
Let's make it plain. You're not going to win anybody with a bad attitude. Attitude is everything. What we think about the church, what we think about the service, what we think about the people of God, it matters oh so much. Attitude is altitude. Attitude determines how high we will go. Your attitude matters. Separation matters. Why? Because these things give us power. Church, you have power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in our separation, and there's power in the blood. But without understanding and knowledge of these things, we do not have the ability to act. If we don't know who we are, if we don't know what we have, and we don't know why we have it, we can only listen and see, but we can't act and save a dying, hurting, lost people. We don't have the ability to act and move them out from where they are and give them water and give them food and give them refuge. We don't have it without those things. I ask you this morning, are you hungry enough to crave that kind of power? Do you understand the privilege of the power of God that we have this morning? Do you understand the access that you have through the name of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and through the separation? You have the power to change a life and influence the world. Would you bow your hands, heads with us right now? Would you close?